Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, injuries for the game. Brock Purdy will be out. Trent Williams, questionable. Juwan Jennings, questionable.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
And I have questionable concern.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, yesterday's injury report was so long.
It's questionable.
Jordan Watkins will, sounds like he's going to play. Ben Bartsch, he's going to play.
I figured Ben would be in.
But yeah. Jordan Watkins, the people that I've talked to inside and outside the building.
Impressive, dude.
And Russell Gage, you may want to go ahead and put your pads in the locker room. But if you want to talk about who's going to be up, Juwan, we don't know. But it's going to be
Ricky.
Sky Moore and Ricky, because Sky Moore is your returner.
Right.
And it's going to be probably.
You think Kendrick Bourne?
I think so. And MVS and Jordan Watkins.
MVS would be
pending Juwan Jennings.
Got it.
I think Watkins is up. Sky Moore is up because he's your returner. And Ricky's up. And then
you go to Juwan. If he's ready.
For sure.
Kendrick for sure. And then if Juwan's not ready, you think MVS.
I think so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
And I do think that Jordan Watkins gets, he got through a healthy week of practice. He's not on the list and stuff. And so I do think that he's a guy, especially with Mac Jones. And think about the offense with Mac Jones. And I've thought a lot about this. Like, okay, Mac is your quarterback and you don't have Kittle. What are you going to do, Shanahan? How are you going to make this work?
Yep.
And I do think that we're going to see at least a couple of plays of 30 or 31 personnel, three running backs and one tight end. You're going to have Juszczyk, who will be like a glorified tight end. You'll have McCaffrey in the slot, and you'll have Brian Robinson in the backfield.
Yeah, and by the way, he may scheme up some wonderful stuff, and Mac may be the guy that just does what the coach tells him, and it delivers it, and the Saints are awful, and the Niners win by 14. I'm not saying I couldn't see that. I just am choosing not to expect it. And I will be very impressed if they do that, because I just think this is a lot of adversity. I think they're facing a lot of adversity. I'm saying. This is a lot.
It's adversity. It's a lot. I don't know if it's a lot. I think it's adversity, and you've got the coach who should be able to navigate it, and you've got a quarterback making his 50th start. He's not going to be a wide-eyed rookie who is trying to navigate NFL football for the first time.
No, but he's also not that good.
He's better than...
It's just very
And this is where you and I can disagree.
He's not awful. I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know if that's even a disagreeable statement. He's not that good.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, but it's everybody's opinion.
It's not Kyle Shanahan's opinion.
You don't know that.
You don't know that it is his opinion.
Well...
All I know is this.
Okay.
He was rumored to, there was a lot of smoke around the draft.
He liked him.
That he liked him.
But he liked Trey Lance too. I don't think he now thinks Trey Lance is an awesome starting quarterback.
No, and Trey Lance is not.
I don't think he thinks that about Mac Jones.
And if he had a choice right now of going against New Orleans with Trey Lance or Mac Jones, it's not even close. It's Mac Jones, and I think it's not even close.
You're probably right, but that might be
He traded Trey Lance for what, a fourth round pick?
And you get that's what he was worth at that time.
He wasn't even worth that.
I know. I don't know what Dallas was thinking, because they never even planned to use him.
Yeah, he started one game.
I tell you what, the point was made to me when that deal was made, because I was like, what are they doing? They don't even want him as their backup. Why would you give any pick for someone that you essentially want as a practice squatter? And the point was made to me, they're like, Jerry Jones likes it when the Dallas Cowboys are in the news.
And yeah, looking, there you go.
And I heard that, and I'm like, well, that's a crazy way to... You're giving up a fourth-round pick so that you can be in the news? It sounded odd to me at the time. When you look back on it, it was probably a wonderful point. I'm like, what the hell did y'all achieve there? Not only did you give up a fourth round pick for him, you brought him in, and then Dak got hurt, and we still never saw him.
Yeah, he got one start.
Crazy, right, once the season was over.
Cooper Rush, and I'm just looking at my list of backups from last year. Backups last year in the NFL were 23 and 68. That's a winning percentage of 253. So one in every four games that a backup started was won by the backup.
I want to, before we play a little more Shanahan, I want to shout out Alex on the YouTube, because this is a good question. Like when I was saying, nobody's opinion is that Mac Jones is pretty good. I don't think anybody thinks he's pretty good. Like they might be, he's okay. I don't think he's awful. And you were like, you think that Kyle Shanahan thinks that he's better than average, and we don't know that. Do you?
He's probably average. If you want to look at 32 teams and 64 quarterbacks, right? Starters, okay, and backups, he's probably right about 32. I would take him over Rattler. I would take him over a small handful of starters, and there might be a couple of backups I would take above him.
Any backups that you can think of? I mean, Cousins. You'd take Cousins over, wouldn't you?
Yeah, at this it's getting a little late, but yeah.
Yeah, like to go win this weekend, would you do that? Would you take Jimmy G over Mac Jones?
Probably not.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
No, not anymore.
I'm bouncing around the league.
And I'm just looking at the list, and there's like Marcus Mariota, Carson Wentz. There's Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Andy Dalton has started 168 games.
I would definitely take Andy Dalton over Mac Jones.
Yeah. I don't know what his physical state is, but... Yeah. You know, there's a lot of like Kenny Pickett and Gardner Minshew Jared Stidham.
Would you take Anthony Richardson over Mac Jones?
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't?
No.
Yeah, I actually don't think I would either. I don't think I would either. I don't think Anthony Richardson's very good.
No.
How about Jake Browning?
Jake Browning's an interesting one because I think that he's kind of Mac-ish. He plays a lot like Mac. He's a little bit more diminutive, but a lot more accurate than Mac.
He's just stuck, by the way. Like, that was weird. He came in and played well, and then... Because he's Burrow's backup, is just like, yeah, just go sit over there. And nobody says a word about him. I don't know.
He's a career backup. Like,
right. Well, but I mean, he was so young when he got that shot. And as you said yesterday, he went 4-3.
Yep.
I'm just a little surprised somebody hasn't tried to make a trade for him.
Yeah, it's always interesting because if you think about the teams that need a quarterback, you would much rather, as an organization, draft a guy in the first round. That way you get 4 years of cheap labor and hope you get it right. Bryce Young, Justin Fields, or Caleb Williams, right? Yeah. I mean, if you have that draft capital, it's a better financial move to roll the dice on a rookie and try to mold him, right?
Tyrod Taylor or Mac Jones?
Probably Mac Jones.
Really?
And again, wow, it's a system fit.
I would take Tyrod Taylor so fast in that one.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good QB, I think.
28-28-1 as a starter.
Who, Taylor?
Yep.
Yeah.
57 starts in his career, which is one of the guys with more than Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm thinking about Mac Jones. He's somewhere between what he was in Alabama and what he was in Jacksonville. Because at Alabama, he had absolutely everything. They were far and away the best team every single time he took the field.
System quarterback.
He was. And his system was, you know, Jalen Waddle and all the rest of it. And two amazing running backs and an offensive line that you would dream about.
Here's what Shanahan was asked about Mac Jones today. Here's what he said.
He's the same this week as he's been all camp. You know, our team really believes in him. Our team really enjoys him. And he did a hell of a job this week in practice.
All right. Are the Niners snake bitten with injuries?
Had a lot of injuries the past few seasons. Do you start to feel like sometimes maybe you're snake bit?
I don't know. I think 23, I think we were the healthiest team in football from what stats have told me or people have told me. Last year we weren't. This year it hasn't been good so far, but we'll see how it ends up.
What about Mac Jones and Ricky Pearsall and their chemistry?
I mean, Ricky's our starting receiver, so like I don't... You know, and Ricky's going to win his routes and do his thing, and hopefully the plays and the protection and the coverages take him there. But, you know, how a receiver plays and stuff, I don't think really depends on the quarterback. You know, some quarterbacks have an easier time getting the plays to the right spots and things like that. But, you know, Ricky's in a good spot with whoever's playing.
All right, and then this is what he said about Mac's personality.
I think he is funny. I think himself, my wife said he must be real funny and have a sense of humor because she saw his suit that he wore last week to the game. I said, I don't think he's trying to be funny. He's just got swag. So it's just him. But no, Max himself makes guys laugh. He's got a lot of energy, and I think our guys have really enjoyed him so far.
I keep hearing, whenever we're asking all these Mac questions, and everybody keeps talking about how fun he is, how funny he is, how much he's well-liked. And I really want someone to come out and be like, he's awesome at football. He's awesome at football. You should see him run this offense. Nobody said that yet.
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
Well, they have, though. They're assessing him.
And I think Kyle's been, you know, mostly praiseworthy of, you know, what he's done since he's gotten there and stuff. And you can't really be too praiseworthy until you see it in an actual regular season game. And now you will. And I don't think that Mac Jones in his 50th start is going to be overwhelmed by the moment. That's the one thing that I feel best about, is that when he gets out there in the huddle the first time on the road in New Orleans, it's not going to be anything that catches him off guard.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? 888-957-9570 is the number. Your anxiety this weekend, if there's any, is it centered on Mac? Is it centered on George Kittle? Is it centered on Yoshinobu Yamamoto and the Giants situation? Game and a half out. We're heading into one hell of a weekend, and we'll take you all the way there. And you probably ride the Dibbers here in about an hour.
Oh, yeah.
About a little bit over an hour.
And we got a little higher or lower as well.
Higher or
we'll
lower.
Get into.
Are you doing just the Niner game, or are you going to do Sunday night football?
Sunday night as well. The picks are in.
Oh,
you can get to 8-0, dog.
Who the hell is a Sunday night game?
I could not tell you, but the pick is in.
The pick is in.
I got it written down somewhere.
Okay.
Atlanta's taking on somebody.
Oh, that's right. Atlanta and Minnesota.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Whatever. I'm 6-0. You guys can't fade
me. Whatever. I mean, whatever. Willard and Dibbs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibbs. And if you want to see their beautiful faces, you can check them out on YouTube. Search 95.7 The Game right now.
Matt Chapman's even better than you think.
What do you mean?
Well, he's a really good third baseman.
Sure, he can pick it. Shout out Kenny.
A streaky but solid and influential bat.
Yeah.
And apparently, really good in a room.
What kind of room? Like in a panic room?
Like an office room?
In a padded room?
Maybe a boardroom?
Like a courtroom?
Maybe. Matt Chapman just achieved something that is very rare in sports. He won his appeal.
His appeal of what?
Remember, Matt Chapman was suspended for one game because of that absolute Jimmy Jack ridiculousness that happened in Colorado a short time ago.
Oh, when Devers went deep and pimped it?
Yes.
Super pimped it?
What
triple pimped it?
What's my left-hander's name?
Freeland.
Yeah, Freeland with the bad
Freeland
attitude.
Freeland's so solid.
Freeland.
Turns out the land is not free,
yeah,
Kyle.
Get over yourself, Freeland. I don't like the way he looked at it while he looked up at the scoreboard and saw my 4-15 record, and then he just stared at it. Well, shut up, dude. Shut up. And Chapman went out there, and he gave him a chest. Atta babe, Chapman. That's your job, team leader. And baseball suspended him for a game. And then Chapman said, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. And he won his appeal.
Maybe I'm channeling bananas, but I need appeal.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
It's a two.
It's a three because it's Friday.
Well, actually, it's a two because it's a Friday.
Oh, I appreciate that. Call me a banana because I need a peel. It's better than that.
Bananas are getting a lot of run on this show this week. There's that.
It's because your head.
Well, what can I do
there
about that?
Nothing.
I look how I look. But anyway.
So he's not going to have to sit some random game?
He's in.
I love it.
And apparently, I guess this got heard on the off day. So he probably wasn't great in a room. He was probably great on a Zoom.
Totally.
Because I don't think he flew to New York yesterday. But anyway, this got heard yesterday, and the thought was, is Chappie's going to have to sit game one of the Dodgers series? Nope. Chappie's in the lineup. He will pay a fine instead. Good job, baseball, because you were wrong on this one the first time.
Agreed.
You were.
The whole thing was weird, and at least in the moment they got it right, which is, Rafi Devers, you were out of the baseline, which, by rule, should be an out, even though you hit a home run. But, yeah, circumstances were such that he left the baseline for obvious reasons, and they put him back on first, and they let him run around. And, you know, old school baseball, I don't know if that would have gone that way, but cooler heads prevailed in the moment, and now even after the fact, the right decision's been made.
Yeah, and by the way, great day for like level-headed front office-ness. I'm just going to make that up. Because also, officially from the NFL and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson will face no discipline.
Good.
For shoving that fan. So what I'm watching baseball and football both do today, they're both hearkening back to the playgrounds of elementary school and just leaning on, you started it. So, hey, fan, you started it. And, hey, Freeland, you started it. So that's a you problem. That's your problem. Especially when what ended up being clapped back on you was not that bad. Chapman didn't punch him in the face. Lamar didn't punch anybody in the face. It was, I think, an appropriate level, kind of a clap back, and I think that you just described it perfectly. It was kind of an odd sort of an exchange, but this is a no harm, no foul. Let's play ball.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Adamus is the one who should have been suspended for 4 air slaps. Like, honestly, if you're going to suspend anybody, you suspend Willie Adamas for, yeah.
But they were so funny, though.
I know.
It was very, very entertaining.
So Chapman makes contact, so he gets a game, and Adamas air slaps nothing, and you get off scot-free? Okay.
Yeah, well,
and baseball got it right. Neither one of them deserved anything.
Air had it coming to him.
Sure.
So Willie slapped him 4 times.
Let's not ever call what that was. Don't ever call that a bases or a benches clearing brawl.
Well, the benches were clear.
That was a benches clearing whatever.
Oh, no, it wasn't a brawl.
It was a nothing.
The benches cleared.
They don't fight anymore in baseball.
No.
They just don't.
I mean, sometimes. It's very rare.
Incredibly rare.
Very rare.
Baseball's kind of lost that love and feeling or that hate and feeling where managers don't come out and kick dirt on umps and throw the base into center field. Players don't charge the mound and fight each other. And that's fine. It's a kinder, gentler baseball.
I don't know. We'll see. Drew Gilbert might change everything.
He'll choke a teammate. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
He'll eat a jersey.
I want somebody to throw high and tight to Drew Gilbert. Let's see what happens. I mean, it might just be absolute WWE that breaks out.
Could be. He's a high, strong kid.
Well, it might happen. He's in the lineup.
All right, let's hear it,
Grady. You guys want to know the lineup?
Yes, we do. Screw you, Dodgers. Let's go.
Ramos leading off, then Devers and Adamas. Dom Smith at first, hitting cleanup. Then Matt Chapman, followed by Jung-Hoo Lee. In the bottom third, Casey Schmidt, Patrick Bailey, and Drew Gilbert.
All right, that's option A. That's the lineup right now. I mean, Matos is fine, too, if you're facing a lefty. But let's be real. The Giants don't hit lefties. Like, yes. Go ahead and ask me if I'll take 2 of 3. Yes.
Oh, you're begging for 2 of 3. Yes. You'd love 2 of 3.
Yes. But I expect Kershaw to shove because go ahead and look at the analytics of the Giants against left-handers. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Can't hit them. Just nothing. Cannot hit them.
Right.
Can't do it.
Nope.
So, that's what I'm expecting to happen when Kershaw throws, and he's having another great year.
And 2 of 3 is big for the tiebreaker, and we'll put the Mets aside for now because we know that you lose the tiebreaker against the Mets, but if it comes down to you and the Reds tied for that third wild card spot, it goes to head-to-head, you split. The second tiebreaker is your record against your division, and the Giants right now against the West are 18-21. The Reds are 17-22.
Holy smokes.
So you have a 1-game lead on the Reds.
Really?
In tiebreaker number 2. That's the tiebreaker.
That's the stupidest tiebreaker I've ever heard.
Well, what would you prefer?
I would much more prefer your record against the rest of the National League.
That's tiebreaker number 3.
That should be tiebreaker number 2 because tiebreaker number 2 in this particular case is 2 completely different things. That's like being like you run a 100-yard dash. And I'm going to shoot free throws. And whoever does better wins. What the hell are you talking about? You're playing completely different opponents.
Different divisions, yeah.
That's dumb.
Well, and in this case, actually, the dumb part would be if you're Cincinnati, because your cellar dweller is Pittsburgh, 64-83. The Giants get Colorado, 40-107.
Right.
So the Giants have a built-in advantage in that tiebreaker, in that Colorado stinks. And Pittsburgh is just... Yeah. Not good. Pittsburgh for a while they were in the mix, remember?
Yeah, I mean, both teams, the Dodgers and Padres are behind the Brewers and Cubs.
Right.
Both divisions have 2 really good teams. Then both divisions have 2 kind of middlers. which are the Reds
and the Giants,
and the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. And the Cardinals and Diamondbacks are right behind. And then both teams have an awful team. Yeah, the West team is awfuler.
But
it's much more awfuler.
The Brewers are better than the Dodgers, right, and the Cubs are better than the Padres.
But
so.
It's apples and oranges. So why don't we just do the National League?
Yeah,
and
that's tiebreaker number three.
By the way, who's doing better on that?
Well, it's actually not the National League. It's the other two divisions outside of yours. So, like, for example, they'll throw out the Giants against the West. It'll be the Giants against the East and the Central, and they are 32-27, and the Reds against the East and the West, 31-31.
Huh.
So
that's also still to a degree apples and oranges.
A little bit. And I don't think that the Reds have another game outside of the division. They have the A's, and then they've got their last 12 games or 13 games against the Central. So it's going to come down to that. If it's a tie, it'll come down to the Reds in the Central against the Giants in the West, which is why these games against the Dodgers are so important, because if the Reds sweep the A's and you take 2 of 3 from LA, well, you're a game behind the Reds, and you know your division against the West would be probably about the same as them against the Central.
Yeah,
so
why wouldn't you just do their record in the National League? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Seems so simple.
I think that they want to make these division games more important in this balanced schedule era, where, all right, if you're good against your division, then that becomes the first tiebreaker.
I have an idea. If you want the division games to be more important, why don't you keep them around?
Right. I mean, you play, 13 against the Dodgers and 12 against everyone else?
What was it? Was it like Giants didn't see the Dodgers until, late June or something?
Yeah, July
like that?
Even, yeah.
Anyway, that seems weird, but okay.
I didn't make it up.
Okay, no,
I'm
you
just
didn't.
Reporting what it is. We're starting to focus more on the Reds, because if the Mets continue to Mets it up, then it might be the Reds and the Giants.
I do like your Mets it up thing. That's good. And they do face their ex-mate, who's a really good pitcher, in Jacob DeGrom tonight. And you know who's who the Mets are facing? Doing the Giants a favor. We'll beat the Mets.
Well, and they're still in it.
Yeah.
They're only two back.
No, they're playing hard. Playing hard. Texas Rangers.
Yep.
So, the Mets are struggling. And that game and a half, /2 games/2.5 tiebreaker, this, that, the other, it might not matter. It might not matter. Like, that's what this sort of means. I still think the Giants are a long shot. They're still behind. They've still got tiebreaker issues, and they've still got 7 games against the Dodgers. Almost half their remaining games are against the Dodgers. So I still see it as unlikely. However, we're here. Do you know what I mean? Like, for the last 3 weeks, it's been like, they're not really in it, right? Oh, but the optimist is like, kind of, maybe, the math works. And then it got to that sort of 4 or 5 range, and you went, well, I mean, like, probably not, but you have to acknowledge this is inside of 5 games. And then it went to 3, and then it went to 2, and then the Mets blew a 4-run lead last night. And now, I don't care how pessimistic of a human being you are, you're wrong if you think the Giants are not in the midst of a pennant race. They just are.
Well, they're a game and a half out, so of course they are. And they've got 16 left to go, and they're allowed to beat the Dodgers all 7 times they face them.
I looked up that rule, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
And they can also go 0-7. They'll probably be somewhere in between, but a lot of baseball still left to play, and the Mets fading. The Reds are still hanging in there. The Diamondbacks are lurking. The Cardinals are clinging. So you've got those 5 teams for one spot, really. The Cardinals are 4 back with 15 to go. They need to do something really, really, really special and get help. Arizona got hurt by what happened here in that series. They had a chance to really be in it. So
but
for me, it's...
They're only a game and a half behind the Giants.
Right, but for me, it really is Giants, Reds, and Mets. 3 teams for
probably,
one spot.
Probably. Crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And this is where baseball did it right with the third wild card, because Giants are 74-72, and they're still playing for a lot.
No, they've absolutely done that part right. I still think that there's still room for 1-game playoff. I think those are just wonderful. I mean, they're good theater.
Yep.
I don't know why you would get rid of good theater. This is how I get that the way the wild card used to be, where you play 162 games, you make the playoffs, and then you get 1 game. Like, that was lame, but was it watchable. That's the way I always thought of it, as one of the one nights of the year where I'm like, I don't care who's playing, I'm watching. It's Twins and Astros, great, I'm in. One game is like a March Madness tournament game. Very, very compelling, but unfair. But this wouldn't be. I sort of look at this as the reverse. You play 162 games and you guys come out to a tie and you're going to decide it based on sort of like quirky percentages and stats. Like, I don't know, man. Give them a game.
Well, the problem is you get a three-way tie and now you've got to have a game and then a travel and then another game and then a travel to start the series. That's where it gets a little messy.
But that was the case before, too. Like, they used to have one-game playoffs, and a three-way tie was always on the table. I don't know that it ever happened very often, but I just think, I don't know, if you play 162 and you come in tied or better for one of the top six records in the league, you deserve a little something. Let's keep playing some ball. You know what I mean? And that head-to-head competition thing, or all these tiebreakers you're talking about, that decides who gets home field.
Yeah.
But give them a game.
Or that, I mean, for me, like, the head-to-head, the Giants don't hold the head-to-head with the Mets, and so that was actually on the field head-to-head. You lose that tiebreaker, I'm fine with that. The Reds, you played them six times, and you took two of three here. You lost two of three there. That was in April, but at least that was baseball. And so for me, if that's the tiebreaker and you're still tied, then you play out a one-game playoff.
Yeah. No, I get it, but I just even the whole thing, it's like this season is so freaking long. It's so long. If you do all this work and you draw even and get to the end, God, play ball. Like, that'll do good ratings. Like, find a Tuesday or something. Find a Tuesday, you know what I mean? Do it on Tuesday night when the NFL's not playing, and own the night. Like, it would do very, very good numbers, I think. Giants and Mets on Tuesday night for a playoff spot. Let's go. Come on, Manfred. That's fun.
It's fun.
Why are you so against fun?
Logistically, it becomes difficult, especially when you want to slot in, like, for example, that Tuesday night you're talking about will be the first game of the wild card playoffs, the actual wild card series. So you start to push that back. Everything gets pushed back. Now we've got snow in the World Series.
Well, no. I mean, you're really pushing it back a day. It's one game. Go. You win it. Get your butt on a plane. And I'm sorry if you're tired. It's the playoffs. And that's your penalty for not being able to shake the other team. You know what I mean? I love it. Get on a plane and fly to L.A. and land at 5 in the morning and then play at 5 o'clock. Then now let's go. What are we doing here? What are we, old people? You can do it.
Air travel. It's load management. What about the strain on the body, right?
Jeez, exactly. Come on. This is playoffs. You know how hard it is for my daughter to get out of bed for school? But boy, she fired out of bed today.
To get that license, well, yeah.
Dad, we need to go early so I could drive around in the neighborhood and get to know what
she
we're
going to do. She was scouting the route?
We scouted.
That's so great.
We were in Novato by 8:10 for a 9 o'clock appointment, parallel parking in people's driveways.
It's great.
Like, let's go. It's a big day. You don't need sleep. Let's do this.
What about Monday, hun? When I'm trying to get you up for that first period class and you're rolling over on me.
Yeah.
That's the way that goes.
Not so much.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I get it.
Let's go to Burns in Millbrae. Hi, Burns. Thank you for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, what's happening, Willie and Dibby? It's good to hear y'all.
Yeah, it's good to hear you, Burns.
Yes, sir. So you know what this season of the Giants reminds me of? It reminds me of last year's Warriors, honestly. I feel like they've been in the playoffs since, like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So they've been playing for their bums since whenever. And every single game is on the line. And I'm just really looking forward to this last half month, maybe month of just playoff baseball. So honestly, my message to the Bay Area fans is like, y'all got to tune in because the Giants are taking off and next year is really going to be something. So shout out to y'all. Happy Friday. Just want to call in and say love y'all and hope y'all have a wonderful weekend.
All Burns, right. Love you, it. Burns, love yeah. it. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend. Yeah, like I hope this carries over. I mean, yes, let's try to – I hope the Giants make the playoffs. But if they don't, I hope this carries over because, yeah, they look like – I mean, here's one thing that I will say no matter how this ends. that the last, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks have really done for my Giants' mental health. The issue that, as I saw it a month and a half ago when the Giants got a hit a week, remember that?
Yeah.
The issue was this. If you get to the end of the year and you only won 74 games and you never hit the baseball and people are like, all right, we got to make some changes. What changes can you make?
Not with the lineup.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's not like your left side of the infield. That's it. I mean, I guess we can have a conversation about catcher, the best defensive catcher in baseball. They've got an offensive guy who they acquired for Duvall, who they really like. But like Casey Schmidt's kind of your second baseman. First base is going to be some sort of a vortex between Devers and Bryce Eldridge. And I hope Dom Smith is still on the Giants next year. I really like him. So there's that. And then your center fielder is your center fielder, and your left fielder is your left fielder. And if you want to keep rotating something in right field, you can. But it was this weird thing of like, there's underperforming going on out there, yet they're not replaceable based on finances, politics, projections, all of it. Who are you going to replace? And so that's what's comfortable about this, even if they miss the playoffs, is you saw some of these people who have to perform. You saw that, okay, they can perform. Even right here in big, bad, awful Oracle Park.
Well, I mean, Devers can't hit a home run to right center, so maybe you need to find somebody with a little bit power. He hit that thing 400 and whatever. That thing was...
At 105 miles an hour, 110.
Yeah. Jeez. Still not gone, but yeah. I do think that the carryover you talked about, that's the carryover. The carryover is Adamas got comfortable and he's playing great. Devers more comfortable, he's playing great. Chapman at the end of it is going to end up having a good year, an above average year for him. Jungwoo Lee, his first real season in the bigs, and everything else around them you hope can either get better or you can slightly upgrade. And Bryce Eldridge, yeah, maybe. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's not till halfway through next year.
He's raking down there.
Well, and you're not as desperate for him now based on what everyone else is doing.
Well, that talk stopped because they're in the race.
Yep.
That's actually one thing that, I mean, I don't know, I guess mixed feelings. Everybody's excited to see the kid. But it kind of, for like 5 weeks ago, that was the only thing people had left. Like, yeah, well, maybe we'll see Eldridge next month. And now you don't even hear his name.
No, you're not going to see him.
Just so you know, he's still raking down there.
One homer in September, he's...
Yeah, but...
He's getting hits.
Yeah, he's getting hits. And he was homering like crazy. The last half of August, he was out of his mind.
Yep, homer September 4th, and that's it for September. Okay. And his power outage. It's been a little bit of an outage, but he's fine. He's 20.
Yeah. Yeah, still strikes out a lot.
The point is you're not desperate for him to come up in April to save you.
He's
more of a luxury based on what these guys have been doing now.
He's almost like there is a scenario where you're like, ooh, I'm not sure where you put him. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Dom Smith, but that's a good baseball player. He's phenomenal at first base, and he has definitely held his own with the bat and seems like a wonderful clubhouse presence. Are you just going to kick that out of town for somebody who's 20 years old? Maybe. But if you keep him and Devers is your DH,
yep.
Someone explain the math problem to me. So I don't know. I don't know. That's going to be a hard one to figure out. If they let Dom go, we're going to have to really feel like Bryce is definitely going to come up and spend the year in San Francisco and produce. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, Fitzmagic with the beard. Wait till you hear what he said. Wait till you hear this answer when he was asked who's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. Wait until you catch this answer. We're going to have to talk this out. 888-957-957 is the number. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brock Purdy.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
You're not insulting Brock Purdy, huh?
But, I mean,
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but.
Yeah, the big but. Well, the but comes right in.
And this is, like, look, we've been around this 1,000 different ways for 3 years now, you and I and all of our listeners. You're free to think that I'm wrong, and I'm free to think that the way we react to 49er football in these moments is a little bit of an insult to Brock Purdy. I just do. That's how I feel. When the quarterback goes down and everyone goes, we'll win anyway. Like, I just, that's how I feel. I feel like two things are happening at once. A, it is somehow a love letter to Kyle Shanahan, and it is a little, maybe insulting is the wrong thing. It's a little dismissive.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Don't be disrespectful.
I don't think most of you mean for it to be that, but I just think that it is. I think that there is a dismissiveness of what he brings to the table and what will be missed now in any game that he doesn't play. And I find it to be a very, very, very key thing for the 49ers, and it is why I look at a game like even this weekend and all games he doesn't play, and I remove expectation. Because one of the most important, if not the most important and best 49ers, is not there. Oh, by the way, to go along with one of the other best and most important 49ers, and possibly more. So when you add all that up, I do think this is going to be hard, and I also think that it's a little dismissive of what Brock does.
I think you're taking it too much to be about Brock Purdy. It's not, in this case, for me, it's not as much about Brock Purdy as it is about four or five other things, including Mac Jones being more than capable, the defense being good enough, New Orleans not being that good, their quarterback having never won a football game as a starter, and Kyle Shanahan being an amazing coach. So for me, it's not as simple as Brock's out, Mac is in, oh, you can still win, that's disrespectful to Brock. It's not about that. It's about everything else in totality in this game that leads me to think that they can still win. Now, if Brock misses five games, will they go 6-0? They're allowed to use your phrase.
They are.
I wouldn't anticipate that they would go 6-0. And if they beat New Orleans, I'll look at what Mac did. I'll watch the game two or three times, and then I'll have a better idea about whether or not they can beat Arizona and Jacksonville.
I will say disrespectful was your word, not mine. I don't think the words disrespectful and insulting, that's too firm for me. I choose dismissive, and I feel that way, and I don't think you're allowed to back out of that by saying, I feel it's for other reasons. I think, to me, they're all in one bucket. If you think that those other reasons are why the 49ers are still able to be a successful football team, then on some level, to me, what Brock brings to the table is being a little bit dismissed. How do you try this one on for size? This is Football with Kevin Clark on ESPN. Ryan Fitzmagic is the guest, and he's asked who's the most underrated quarterback in the league.
It's Brock Purdy. It's Brock Purdy, even though he's been paid. I think everybody in San Francisco appreciates what he brings and what he does every single week. But I still don't think that NFL fans appreciate how good this guy is. And when you put on his tape, the anticipation that he throws with, the stuff that he gets those guys out of in terms of avoiding bad plays. And then what a great example in week one, he throws two interceptions, right? But he's played in so many dang games. He has so much confidence in himself. He's so calm when he's out there that then what happens at the end of the game, he has a situation where he has a chance to drive them down to win the game. And what does he do? He goes down and wins the game. And so I think a very important progression as a quarterback, when you have the ball with 2 minutes left, does your team believe that you're actually going to win the game? And when the other team has the ball, are they thinking, oh my God, we can't give this quarterback another chance. We've got to run this clock out. And Brock Purdy is entering that conversation as that guy. And I think he's truly still underrated by most NFL fans.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe I elevate the like certain opinions in a way sort of higher than I should. I think all of us are impressionable to some degree, unless really what you do is just put on earmuffs and watch every football game and then decide that like this is my opinion based solely on what I see. We all hear voices. We all read things. Other than Cam Newton, the list of people who've played the position, who have continued to trumpet that this guy literally blows them away, is so long. And Fitzmagic is only the latest to say something like this. And the list includes people like Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Kurt Warner, and Steve Young. That's the list. And so I don't, like, I'll bite. Maybe I listen to those voices too much. But when I hear stuff like that, I'll tell you where my mind goes. It's not just as simple as going, well, if Tom Brady says it, it's true. It's more like they clearly know things about what it takes to do what they do that we don't know. Like, we look at any interception sometimes and we think it's the same bite of a bad apple. And not every interception is cut the same. And not every drive is the same. And so when people who did this or do this for a living speak about him the way that they do, when he talks about his progressions, to me, that's stuff that when we watch a football game with popcorn and slippers on, we don't see that. We don't see that. They do.
I mean, you can see it when you watch it multiple times.
Not
you can
the same
see
way.
It.
Not the same way
I've
as somebody.
I've never played quarterback in the NFL, but yeah, you can see it. And the whole idea about underrated or overrated is something that I have a hard time with because that is perception-based. It comes down to really the reality of whether or not you think he's good. And Fitzmagic thinks he's a good quarterback, and he's right. And he talked about the fourth quarter comeback, which is only the second time he's entered a fourth quarter and brought his team back to victory. But the way he did that with the throw to Pearsall that on 2nd and 9 really propelled them down across the 50 into an area where they actually could win the game. It was a great throw. It was a great catch by Pearsall. It was a great route concept. It was protected very well, as we all criticize the offensive line for having a down game. On that play, 2nd and 9, everything lined up. Did the quarterback make a good throw? Yeah, he did. But the receiver got open, and the line protected, and the coach drew up a gem. So sometimes I think that we all get bogged down into the one guy, Brock Purdy. Is he overrated? Is he underrated? He's probably underrated, but what does that mean? Is he good enough to win games? Well, yeah, he is. He's won a lot of games.
I'm not bringing it up just because it's something that, you know, he's the 49er quarterback, so therefore he's the straw that stirs the drink in this town. It's not that. I think it's relevant right now. He's hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah.
And so each and every one of us gets to arrive at our own spot in terms of what that means for our expectations of the 49ers for however long he's out. And mine dropped through the floor. That's all. And again, I'm rooting for him. I don't even want to say I might be wrong because I'm not saying that they can't win. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to expect anything until I see otherwise. And maybe Mac will be really good this week, and maybe he'll be really good every week. Maybe he'll only be really good this week. Maybe you all are right. Maybe the Saints are a college team. Maybe the Niners are playing LSU on Sunday. I don't know. I don't really feel like after a week of football, I know exactly who these football teams are yet. I don't know. I don't know why the Dolphins are favored this weekend. Scares the hell out of me to pick the Patriots because what the hell is Vegas doing favoring the Dolphins against anyone?
Yep.
I'll take Cal if they're playing the Dolphins based on what I saw last week. But so I don't know. Yeah, the Saints on paper are not good, and then they went out and lost a football game. Although, it was not an ugly football game.
No.
Like, they played a one-score game, and it was a kind of a one-score-ish game most of the time. And so I'm not expecting much from the Saints, but I don't really know exactly who they are. But I also feel that way right now about the 49ers. And so, in a way, that's kind of my thought, is it's interesting how many people still think they know what to expect from the Niners this week, and I don't feel like I've got any idea what they're going to look like with like at least two, possibly more, really key people who are centerpieces of what they do are not there.
Don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what it's going to look like. And the thing that I learned this morning as I did my deep dive on the backup quarterbacks last year, and as I mentioned earlier, they were 23-68 backup quarterbacks. They won at a 25% rate. Eesh. But when you start to dive deeper, who actually won? And the teams that won with a backup quarterback tended to be good teams.
Yeah.
Green Bay had a guy named Malik Willis start weeks 2 and 3.
And those were both rabbit out of the hat games if you watched them. I remember those.
If you want to talk about actually what happened, in the first game, he goes 12 of 14.
Uh-huh.
They threw the ball 14 times. He threw a touchdown, buck 22 in the air, and you had Josh Jacobs run 32 times for 151. You beat a winless, much like New Orleans is now.
Was it the Titans?
The Colts.
Oh, the Colts.
The next week is when they played the Titans, who were 0-2.
Yep.
Malik Willis goes out and he goes 13 of 19 for 202. And they didn't, I mean, Malik ran it 73 yards. And so, it was kind of rabbit out of the hat, but it was outside of what the Packers would, quote unquote, like to do. My greater point is Malik Willis is a backup. Mac Jones had been a starter. Malik Willis has never really been a starter. And Green Bay saw what they had, and they realized, geez, we don't want to have Malik Willis throw it 35 or 40 times. This is the way we're going to have to win these games, and they're a good team, and they won those games.
Can I get some additional, and I'm checking my memory here, those games that the Packers won?
Yep.
What was the final score of those two games?
The Titans was 30 to 14.
Okay.
And there was there was a pick six for the Packers.
That's what I feel like there were defensive and special teams touchdowns at one point or another during those 2 weeks.
There
I
was
might be
a
wrong.
Pick six in the game against the Titans.
Yep.
And I mean the Titans fell to 0-3.
Sure.
In that game.
No, they're awful. They had the first pick in the draft.
And the previous game was 16-10 over the Colts, and it was three Narveson kicks and a touchdown pass from Willis to Wicks.
Okay.
And that was your scoring.
Yeah.
But again, this is where I'm thinking about Mac Jones, and I was looking at Mac Jones' career, and of all the games where he's attempted 39 passes or more, Mac Jones is 0-11. So if you're looking for Mac Jones to go out there and throw the ball a lot, you're going to lose. So Mac Jones, and I'm thinking about Malik Willis, if Mac Jones can come out and go 14 for 21 and not throw a pick, and you can run the football effectively, you can win with Mac Jones.
You can, of course.
That's the blueprint, though.
Right.
And Kyle Shanahan needs to, he's thinking about blueprints.
Right, but I love the way that is sort of stated. Yes, you can, and that's where I'm at. What I keep hearing from people is that they should, and I remember those games last year, and pick sixes and 16-10 and things like that. Dude, they're grinders. They're grinders hell, we already watched it. They looked exactly like last week looked. Difference being is you had a quarterback throw for 277 yards last week. You didn't have that in those games. And so
one interesting thing about the Colts game,
yeah.
At Lambeau, the Colts were favored by 2.5.
Yes.
Favored by 2.5.
Yeah, Malik Willis is not good.
At Green Bay.
Right.
And the Packers still won.
They still won.
But and the Niners are favored by 3.5 at New Orleans.
There you go. Yeah.
Which tells me that the markets at least think more of Mac Jones than they did of Malik Willis.
I'm sure they do. Absolutely. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.